Okay, so phase one is basically going to be replacing module one. And it's just module is just not really as accurate as phase, because what we're talking about, each module really represented an area of emphasis. And the first phase that we start with, you know, when I tell everybody not to, you know, tackle their hot button issues and dive right into all that stuff, is really because we're taking the first few weeks to go inward, get really self-aware, and get to know ourselves very, very well. And it's super important that we do this first, because if we aren't really clear on, like, not only who we are and what our sensitivities are and what our triggers are and why and what our boundaries are and all that good stuff, then we can't really share that authentically with another person. And we don't even really know if they know us completely. They can't really even hear us or see us for who we really are if we don't really know who we are first. So that's why this is absolutely crucial. Most of us come into this program because we want to feel heard. We want to really feel seen. We also want to be our best self with our person. And sometimes we don't feel like they bring out the best in us and vice versa. So this getting real with ourselves is going to be super important. And there's going to be a few different things we're going to be doing for this. You know, we're going to be looking at what are our patterns, really identifying what our patterns are, and then interrupt those. And we'll get into details on that later. But we have to be willing to identify them and interrupt the old patterns first, even if we don't have all the new tools yet. We have to consciously decide what we want it to be instead, and then create a new story, right? Develop a vision, and then figure out where are we going, what's the destination, and then how do we remove the internal barriers that get in the way? That's really important in this lesson too. That's where the belief work comes in. Then we're also going to be looking at, you know, how did we choose the person that we chose? How did we get here? Why are we here? Why did you choose the person that you chose? That's a really great question to explore, because there's always lessons there. There's hard lessons, but there's also really amazing opportunities for us to grow. And usually we find that those are the exact ways that we needed to grow, not just for them, but also for ourselves, for us to be a more whole version of ourselves. And then we're also going to be looking at boundaries. We're really going to be knowing what they are and embracing them. And this is going to be a more nuanced lesson than the one that I had before. It's actually a really rich topic. There's a lot more involved than, you know, initially meets the eye. But I'm really excited about diving into that, because that's going to be pretty much new for this round of the curriculum. But for today, well, before we get into today's lesson, I just want to say that, you know, all of these things are going to help you to stock and really reflect and get some deeper insights. A lot of you already have insights. A lot of you have done work already, but it will help you get even deeper insights and get very clear on who you are, where you're going, what you have to let go, what you do want to hang on to, and all that good stuff before we move into phase two, which is going to be, you know, communication with integrity and really being able to express what it is that we learn in this first phase. So with that said, let's just start with lesson one. So this is the first part of lesson one. This is pattern interrupt. And this is what I always ask people to do in the very first call, is to say, okay, first we just have to disrupt what's actually happening that's not working. Break that pattern that's destructive, whatever that is for you. Because, you know, for some people it's like avoidance. For some people it's lashing out or picking fight or shutting down, you know, fight or flight. Regardless of what it is, everybody has a pattern. So you really want to look at, like, okay, what is that? And what have I been doing that is not helpful? And how can I disrupt that on my side? And at first, this is really hard, because obviously, you know, we're just starting out at this phase, and some of you don't have all the tools to do that yet. But as long as you do something different than what you have been doing, that's still going to be better. So don't sweat it too much, because we're going to get into the how soon. But you just have to set your intention to say, I'm willing to look at the pattern. A lot of you already know what the pattern is, but really breaking that down and recognizing what's happening and being willing to stop that, or at least your part in that pattern, because we all have a part to play. I'm also going to give you some actual pattern interrupters, or they're called pattern interrupt guidelines, later on in a different lesson. But just for now, I want you to look for ways that you can disrupt by doing something differently. Like, you know, what if there's something that you tend to say, not to say it, right? That's an example. Or if you tend to engage, you would disengage. Think about what you would do to actually surprise your spouse that would, like, defy their expectations of you. That's disrupting. Now, at the same time that you're going to be disrupting the habits, we're also going to be simultaneously working on a new way of relating, right? That's, you know, something to replace the old pattern with. That's more in alignment with your vision of what you want. That's going to be connected to the relationship vision that we'll do in a little bit. But first, I just really want to frame the work formally that we're doing in here in this program in terms of the old story that we have. That's like, you know, we've created it. We're living it now. It was created in the past and we're living it in the present moment versus the new story that we want to have in the future. That will only be created in the present moment, right? We can never create a future from what's happened in the past. And you guys have heard me say this before already, like, you know, we're talking about looking through the old lenses and old story versus new lenses. And, you know, that person is still seeing you through the old story and that kind of thing. I hadn't really ever integrated that into the lessons before. And so I just want to talk about this a little bit more clearly and what my beliefs are about this whole story thing. So the focus on stories, I mean, first of all, I want to say it's, I think starting with looking at the old story and thinking about what you want it to be in the future is the first and most important way that we can interrupt a pattern. So if you kind of picture it like you're a character in a story or your character, yeah, in like an epic novel or something, and now we're going to change the script. When you stop speaking your side of the script or you don't say the lines anymore that are in the script for you, then the story changes, even if the other person is saying their lines. If you're not saying yours, it's not the same story anymore. So whatever that part is that you're playing, whether it's avoidance or whether it's lashing out, name calling, whatever it is that if you guys have a recurring argument that you keep having and you can just predict, it's like the same thing every time. This is where we want to really recognize it so you can see it before it happens, interrupt it, and then also build an alternative at the same time. So first we have to recognize, right, what is the old story? But first, also be willing to recognize that we actually all do still have stories, because some people still maybe fight that and think that, you know, there is objective truth. And I think on some level, there is objective truth. But in our lived experience, our brain filters out a lot of things because we simply cannot absorb every point of data that comes across, you know, our awareness in our lives every single minute, every single hour, every day, every year of our lives. It's just the brain can't handle that. So we're already like selectively filtering things out based on what we know, based on what helps us feel safe. And then as we get older, I mean, when we're little, we don't really have a choice. But then as we get older, what we do is we like select certain things that are true. And then we focus on those. And then the more we focus on those things that are true, the more that the reality or the meaning that we make out of those things grows. And then there's a lot of things that we ignore. The things that we ignore that don't make it into all of the things that we're looking at, they don't make it into our awareness or our consciousness. Those things that are true, we just don't notice them. So it's like they're not even there. Or they'll be there just very briefly, and then they'll lose their footing in our experience. So we select these things that are true, we make meaning out of it, and then that becomes our narrative. And that's what humans do. Like, we're just meaning-making machines. And the thing to remember, though, is that this can work against us if we're trying to make radical changes in our lives, because we are going to be in that story so much, like the fish in water doesn't know it's in water. And we're going to hear things through those lenses of the old story. And, you know, if you make changes and your spouse doesn't recognize it, that's because they're seeing you in the old story. And we have these expectations and we just have this version of reality and we have these beliefs that come from that. But you can write a new story. And this is what's exciting, is that you can actually get really conscious and say, okay, I'm not going to just, because we can't just stop engaging in all of the old ways without having something to replace it with. I mean, we can, but it's a lot, lot harder, much, much easier if we can immediately counter the old story with something new. So we want to start right off the bat with having something that's an alternative that we consciously choose. And that's actually the fun part, because once you get to, you know, create a new story, And you have a vision that supports that, then you can do your beliefs, then you can start reinforcing and conditioning with action steps, and then that's how you bring a new reality into your life. That's how you get that actual change where people feel like, wow, I'm just not in that situation anymore. And that's how we get unstuck. And I'm going to share with you how to write a relationship success story. Before we get into the vision and how I break it down and explaining that in more detail, there's just a few principles that I really want to share with you guys that I think is important to remember, not just in the creation of the new story. I think this will help a lot, but also just in this work in general. And since we're just starting out, this is really important to highlight. So Number one is that the people who write a successful, like who actually create a successful relationship, even after they've had a lot of trouble and they've been on the brink, those are the people that are focusing nonstop on their goals. And they're focusing not just on their goals and like imagining them and how great it's going to be when they get there, but they're also thinking about why they're so important, the why of their goals, right? So you have to be asking yourself throughout this process, because it's not always easy, right? But you want to think, how often am I speaking about my vision and my goals? And how often am I talking about the challenges? Are you spending more time talking about why it's not working or why so-and-so is not acting right? You know, or are you focusing more on what it is that you're trying to create instead? Sometimes people argue for their limitations. And there's a place for that in being able to actually identify what the problem is. We have to be able to do that. We can't just ignore the problem. But at a certain point, when you're arguing for why something won't work or how it's been or how it is right now, you're staying stuck. You're choosing to focus on the thing that will not get you forward. So it's really about where we place our attention. That's why the brag book is so important. That's why the gratitude journal is so important. And your self-talk also, you know, just what you're even saying to yourself has to be about where you're going and what you're excited about and what you're creating. You kind of have to be obsessing about what your dream relationship is and how your marriage is going to look. And we'll get into the vision where you can actually spell that out. But spend more of your time focusing on, so if you notice something's not going well and you recognize it, you know, let yourself have the feelings, call it out for what it is, and then shift pretty quickly into what can I do about it? Where am I going? What am I going to do? And what am I going to do to correct this? What am I going to do to get past this? And then, of course, there will be action steps in the program to help you with that. Another thing to do, to keep in mind, is that you're going to want to make your decisions and all of your actions based on the future you, like who you are going to be, and in, you know, the future relationship that you're envisioning, like what your ultimate goal is. So in other words, you want to take action as if you already are that person, right? If you are already that person in the wonderful marriage where you feel safe and loved and cherished and respected and heard and all the things that you desire, just imagine, like, if you were already there, what decisions would you make? How would you show up? And we'll get into the beliefs and how to do that in a second. But first, you just want to kind of think, like, you have to be willing to say, I'm willing to show up as if I'm in that space, even though I'm not yet. You know, you can ask yourself if you have a problem, like, okay, how would I, if I was my future me and my future happy marriage, my healthy marriage, how would I respond to this problem? If I was already my best self in this loving relationship, and then commit to taking those actions now, even before you feel ready. That's honestly the difference between people who stay stuck and those who really, really transcend their situation. And I think it's just because there's a certain amount of faith involved and there's a certain amount of defiant commitment. It's like saying, I'm not accepting that the present moment or my history is going to define what my future is. And that really, that level of defiance and willingness to make decisions based on your future you, with that, even though you don't know what the outcome is going to look like, that's a certain kind of like superpower strength. So let's cultivate that together, because I think that that is really key. The other thing you have to be willing to do is to commit to living outside your comfort zone until you have the marriage that you want. And that's not to say that you should constantly be going outside of your energetic limits and, you know, crossing your own bottom line boundaries. But what I'm talking about is accepting that it's going to be uncomfortable, right? There's no other way. You're going to have to go outside of your comfort zone. You know that one diagram where they show the circle and then there's like a little dot outside the circle. And then there's like a little arrow pointing to the dot that says, this is where the magic happens. And the circle is the comfort zone. Like there's no way to get to the where the magic happens unless you are willing to leave that circle of your comfort zone. And it's not going to be fun sometimes. It's going to feel confusing. It's going to feel heavy. It's going to feel, you know, you'll be unclear and you might be sad. You might be grieving. You might be dealing with some resentments. But as long as you're just willing to kind of feel out of your depth and lean on the support that you have in this program and reach out in the meantime until you have that new foundation, you can do it. You just have to be willing to practice. This takes practice. And practice is controlled failure, right? If you're practicing how to shoot baskets, you know, or you're trying to practice snowboarding, you're not going to expect that you would just do it really well right away. You're going to fall. You're going to drop the ball. You're going to fumble a lot of things along the way. But as long as you're willing to do that, you will get there. I think we just tend to be so hard on ourselves, you know, in relationships. We expect a lot out of ourselves in relationships. Like, as soon as we have the insight, we then just expect that we should be able to implement immediately. And we don't really expect that of ourselves in any other thing that we're trying to master. You know, when you think about getting an education or a career certification or any sort of career accomplishments and things like that, we expect that there's going to be like learning while doing and that it's not always going to be perfect along the way. So try to just, you know, remember that on this journey that it's okay to be out of your comfort zone because you have a structure, you have support, and it's not going to be forever. You're going to get to a place where you actually have a new foundation and that becomes your new comfort zone. So another thing that's super important in developing a new story and really being able to create a new reality is that you're going to have to choose the beliefs and the stories that empower you, as we're going to be doing. And some of you have already started your belief work, but you have to be willing to decide and pick very wisely and very carefully, not in a generic way, but very, very specifically based on your life dreams, looking at your specific traumas and things like that. You know, only the beliefs and stories that take you exactly where you want to go, where you can, you know, speak your truth from that place. Once you're where you want to be, you're going to be your most generous self. You're going to be able to rock the boat with love. You're going to be able to do all the hard stuff from that place because you chose wisely, and we will be getting to that. Another thing I really want to emphasize in this process is taking extreme ownership, because I think that it's so easy to blame people. There's always someone to blame in anything if we want to, right? But that just gives away our power. And I think it's human nature to want to vie for the victim position. Like, I remember my husband and I used to argue about who was the most transgressed, you know, the most victimized person in the relationship. And like I said, it's human, but it just puts you in a one down position. It doesn't get you where you want to go. It doesn't empower you. And worse, it keeps you living years and years and years the same way that you don't want to live. So, and that's on you. You actually have to own the outcome 100%. A marriage is not 50-50. A marriage is 100%, 100%. And it's actually easier, even though it sounds like more, it's easier that way because that's where you get the traction, right? That's where your power lives. And that doesn't mean that you control what your spouse does. It doesn't mean you control the outcome in the sense that you can control other people. But if you put 100% into your side of the street and your actions on that side of the street, and your belief work and your new story and your relationship vision and all of the action steps, if you put 100% in, like as if you did, if you gave 100%, you could have exactly what you wanted, then you will most likely end up with what you wanted. Because even though there's other variables involved, like your spouse and other, you know, family factors and all kinds of things, the catalyst that you become is amazing when you take extreme ownership. You really become extremely powerful, and the beliefs that you adopt in taking extreme ownership actually are sort of very influential. Other people start to feel that and they want to lean into you and they believe you. They just believe you, you know, because you believe it. There's something that happens when you decide, you know, I'm just going to take 100% responsibility on everything that I can do. I will let go of the things I can't control, but on the things I can control, I have to give it my 100% and take full ownership. The other thing is you have to be willing to pay the price that needs to be paid. And what I mean by that is really putting in the time and showing up for it, even though sometimes you might not want to. And I know I've gone through programs before and I get it, but we have to think about, okay, how many hours are we spending watching shows, or how many minutes a day or hours a day are we scrolling through the phone? If we're not willing to pay the price of transformation, then you simply won't get there, right? So if you think of something that you have achieved in the past and that you're super proud of, how much time did you spend on that? How many hours did you spend on that? And how many times did you make yourself do something you really didn't feel like doing because you knew there was going to be an outcome? That's what we need to do here. And so that means letting go of the things that are not serving you, if it's wasting your time, if it's draining you of your resources. You're going to want to declare your goal every day. You know, you're going to want to check in with your relationship vision, and don't argue with what it costs. So what I mean by that is, if you say, well, I really don't like the belief work, or I just don't have time to do my gratitude, or I just don't journal, or I just things got in the way, then you're not ultimately, it's fine, that happens sometimes, but if that's your overall approach, then you're not really doing what it takes. And this stuff works. It really does. And I'm not recommending anything more than what's necessary. I looked through a lot of stuff and I was like, there's a lot of things that would really be great to incorporate. So many nice to have, but I'm really trying to distill this down into what is necessary step by step. What must we have in the most efficient way? So, you know, if something's not working, that's great because now we know and we can do something about it. So as long as you're trying, as long as you're showing up, and if something's not landing, if something's feeling uncomfortable or whatever, then that's okay. We can shine the light on it and we can tweak it and do whatever we need to do. But you just have to be willing to do what it takes to find that out. And so sometimes the action steps don't feel that meaningful. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. But you want to try to do it all and really just pay the price in terms of the time investment in doing it. And then the final thing is taking responsibility. And this is not responsibility in the sense of ownership. This is responsibility in the sense of the ability to respond to something. So this is looking at what are you capable of doing? Are you able to do the work? Are you able to do the homework? Are you able to take the action steps that are outlined? Are you able to ask questions and come to the coaching calls and really engage something that isn't making sense? You know, and asking, are you able to let go of the things that no longer serve you? And if you can, then what is your response to that? What's your response to that ability? And one of my mentors once said, if you have the capacity, you have the responsibility. And that's really reassuring because sometimes I hear, well, why should I have to do all the work and my spouse isn't really doing anything? It really doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have the capacity and are you going to respond to that with a sense of responsibility? And if you're listening to this now, you already are. You're already doing that. You're already doing the work. So, and I would never even work with someone or invite someone into the program if I thought they didn't have that. It's just sometimes, you know, things come up where people might get confused and then they just assume that they're not able to do it or that you know, they're missing something that everyone else is getting. And that's usually not the case. So, like I said, don't let outside factors define your success and reach out if you need help. So now it's just, you have to just decide, right? Just decide, hey, I'm going to be the author of my life. I'm going to be the author of my own experiences, the next chapters of my marriage, the next chapters of my life, and how the story ends. And everything comes after we make a decision. The decision always comes first in everything we do. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I hope it works, or let's just see how it goes. Let's just see how it goes. You haven't fully decided. So decide now, like, I am the author of the story of my relationship. It feels so empowering to say that because you get to write that. You get to claim it. That's like an honor that you can claim that. And you also have to claim it, right? Because if you don't, then something else will. Like, your old programs will win. Your past will end up dictating your future if you don't claim that. So just remember, if you get discouraged along the way and it just feels like the old story is so strong and it feels insurmountable and you just can't get past it, just remember that you absolutely can do this. Stay the course. Your family needs you. Your future generations need you. And the world needs you to be your best self. You know, the world needs you to be your best, happy, connected, whole, shining self. And when you have a really great relationship and you have a healthy relationship with yourself, and you have a really clear vision of what your standards are and where you're going, regardless of who joins you, then you are your most, you know, authentic, happy self, and you will raise everyone around you up. You know, you will disrupt the generational patterns, and you'll just, it's like a ripple out effect. You know, once you do this work on from the inside out, then everyone you come in contact with literally benefits from it. And it just, everyone is going to benefit from the better energy that you bring from deciding to be the author of your story. So now you just ask yourself, okay, am I going to be a success story? What is my success story going to look like? And that's up to you. And that's the exciting part. So let's do that now. Let's create your relationship. You're going to be creating your relationship, like, vision from your ultimate fantasy. You're going to write your dream relationship and think, you know, what everything that you can possibly think of that would flesh out a really detailed, rich picture of what that looks like. When we talk about, you know, being the author of our lives and that we have to imagine where we're going first, it's scary because people are like, I can't really picture it. So now what? Now I'm stuck and I don't have this vision, right? And that can be a little bit deterring. But we can literally write it as if it's not us. We can pretend it's like a protagonist in a story that we wish we were, and we're writing it for them, and then we can apply it for us. Because what we choose for them is going to be most likely what we want for us. So that's the first thing to remember is, you know, if you have a little bit of a struggle with being able to flesh this out really deeply right away, don't worry about it. We'll get there. But it is really important. And the reason it's important is because, you know, everything is going to be guided by where we're going. All real transformation, it occurs through leaps of faith, but we have to have a sense of which direction we're going, even if they're leaps of faith. We have to be leaping in the right direction. So when we get into a taxi cab, we don't tell the driver where not to take us, right? We tell them exactly where we want to go. And it's going to be the same way when we talk about our relationships. We're going to be talking about exactly where we want to go. So there's just a few things to keep in mind before we go through the steps. Number one is, you know, you're going to start focusing on what you want, not just for this assignment, but day to day. Every time you come across something that is disturbing you, you're going to ask yourself, what do I want? Don't linger in what's wrong. Say, what do I want instead? And that should be asked on a daily basis, especially obviously now while we're doing the vision. But I want you guys to be doing this on a daily basis when you get tripped up. What do I want instead? Pivot quicker. And whatever your answer is, if it's not already on your vision, then you're going to add that to your vision. Then you're going to think really clearly about, like, where do I want to be? What do I want my future to look like? And what does my relationship have to be for my future to be that? What are you going to be writing? What is it going to look like? And remember, we're not arguing with the old story, because a lot of people, when I talk about the vision, they're still comparing it in relation to what they don't have. That can be a starting point. But what I want you to remember is it's so important to know that we're not trying to fight an existing old story. We're not trying to dismantle it from within the old story. We're trying to step outside of it completely to create a new narrative and then invite your spouse and other people into that. Okay. That seems like a really fine, like, point, but that's just to take you to another level. So when you're thinking about where you're going and you keep thinking about what you have instead, that's because you're still kind of fighting the old story in your mind. So it really is helpful if you want to just, like, clean the slate and imagine, you know, a different person, a different situation, completely blank slate, as opposed to just taking what exists and, like, trying to do the opposite. Although there is a place for that. And I recommend that in some of the belief work, and that's a way to arrive at what we need to do for our beliefs. But for the story, the more that you cannot be using your old story in any way as a yardstick, the better. Because even by comparing, even if it's a way more favorable comparison, you're still connecting to the old story. And I want to try to avoid that. And then you just want to remember that every single thing you do is going to be guided by that vision, because that's your destination. So it's going to keep you on track, just like a deep GPS. It's going to guide you when there's bumps along the way, and there will be bumps along the way. And the power of this cannot be overstated. So, like, let's just say that something pops up and you're like, what should I do? A lot of times the answer is just look at your vision. Based on that, what do you do? And vision is the source of creation, right? Vision is where everything that people invent, that create, they create it out of nothing. You know, how did we create, like, I mean, I don't even, you know, when you think about electricity, for example, that came from an idea that someone had. So visions will transcend the information of your immediate environment. It will defy the limits of what you think are possible. So for this vision, I want you to think big, okay? Because you can't have something that you can't yet envision. And if you can't yet envision it, you have to at least just be willing to. If you're willing to say, I really want to envision it, and I'm going to try my best, and I'm going to be looking for what I want, and I'm going to be looking for clues, and that is something you can live the question, and I will help you with that in the coaching. But it's something that has to be envisioned first. It has to, like, have a life inside of us first. We live it first. We feel it. We imagine it. We're having a relationship with that vision first. And then when it's true inside of us, then it becomes apparent in our actual lived experience outside of us. That's how it works. It's a little bit magical, but it really, really works. So let's find out what you're going to actually do for your relationship vision and where you actually want to go. So some of you have seen this, some of you have not. The relationship vision is broken down into three sections. And I know that when I talk to you guys on the phone, you know, before you enrolled into the program, I usually ask, you know, what is it that you want your marriage to look like and what would have you celebrating? And a lot of you were able to really picture a little bit of what you would feel like broad strokes, what things would feel like or look like in general terms. But I really want to go deeper into that now. And So we do that by breaking this down into three categories, and I will explain. So number one is, how does your partner show up in your ideal scenario? It's hard sometimes because people will be like, I just don't think that's possible. But that doesn't matter here, okay? So if you hear your voice saying that, your inner voice saying that, just say, not here, not now, it's fine. Like, we're not going to be limited by what has happened in the past right now. Right now, we're going to think complete, like, wildest fantasies. So how does your partner show up? What energy do they bring? How do they look at you? What qualities are they going to be exhibiting? Like, what adjectives would you use to describe them and their personality? What are the things that they're doing? What are the things that they're saying? You know, what do you see in your mind's eye about your partner and how they show up in this awesome relationship? Then you're going to be looking at, what are your dynamics like? And this is anything that's an interaction between the two of you. That's a lot, okay? That's like, how do you split up household responsibilities? How do you co-parent? Co-parenting conversations, that's a dynamic. You know, affection or intimacy, communication styles, those are dynamics. How do you solve problems? How are you going to plan trips? How do you repair when one of you is hurt? How do you initiate challenging topics or make bids for connection? Anything that's an interaction between the two of you falls under dynamics. So that should be a fairly long section by the time you're done with your vision. And then the third phase, which I think is the most important, especially at this beginning stage before we move into, you know, communicating and making requests, because we're holding off on that right now, at least in this first phase, is you look at, how do you show up? So what energy do you bring? You know, if you are fully the person that you want to be, like 100% of the time, what does that look like? You're your best self. What are your qualities? What are the adjectives you would use to describe you? What are the things that you're doing in your mind's eye? What are you saying to people? What are you saying to yourself? How are you feeling? How are you taking care of yourself? All of those things, that's how you show up. And when you do this work on a daily basis, like I recommend, you know, printing off your relationship vision and putting it inside of your journal, you look at that every morning and you connect with the whole vision. But most importantly, you look at what's under three and what can I do under number three today? So just a couple things to keep in mind as you draw from this vision, because it's such a foundational piece of the program. Don't sweat it. You know, if you don't have it fully filled out, if you feel like, you know, I think that there's more here, but I just don't even know what that would look like. First of all, it's something we can do on one of the coaching calls. I'm happy to help you with that and ask you the right questions to kind of get that more clear. But it will just naturally be refined over time, because things will be happening. And when something happens that we don't like, we have such a much better upper, it's a contrasting experience to what it is that we really desire. And we can use those as opportunities to get more clear on what our desires are and build on that. So you will refine this vision over time. And like I said before, you know, you're going to want to print it out and look at it every single day. I think it's a good idea to have it inside of the journal that you're using for everything else. But you know yourself, you know what works for you. Maybe you like to have different books and journals and pages for, you know, maybe you want to put it in one of those little plastic covers or something and keep it by your desk, wherever it's easy and convenient for you to look at it every single day. Read through the whole thing or say it out loud, and you'll be amazed at just that action of seeing it and reading it and connecting with it every day will make a really big difference in how you feel. It will expand your hope a lot too, if you're feeling hopeless right now. And then the other thing is that you really want to focus on part three, like I mentioned, even before you have all the problems solved, because in the beginning, especially, you might still have resentments and there might, you know, you might still have some patterns that are not feeling great to you. You don't have all the tools yet and things aren't totally amazing yet. So how do I show up that way? But you can actually in little moments, because if you know that you're tabling the big issues for now, right? And you know that it's okay to let that go, you can have a good moment now. You can always choose to have a good moment now. And it doesn't mean you're shoving things under the rug. It doesn't mean you're ignoring things forever. It just means that for the phase that you're in right now, you can show up that way, show up as your vision now in as much as you can, you know, to as much as your capacity allows you to do. And it actually plants seeds for your future relationship. You know, it creates goodwill. It creates positive interactions, which is a really important component. Obviously, we want to create positive interactions and help our spouse feel like things are, you know, getting better and that they can receive that from you. And most importantly, it helps you recognize the power that you have now. Because so often we think, well, I just don't feel like I can do that because things haven't been fixed yet. Things haven't been resolved yet. I still don't feel great about it. And so we miss opportunities to really bring that into the situation, like bring our vision into lived reality when we actually could. And why not? So really ask yourself, where can you do that? And, you know, really systematize that. You could say, I'm going to do one of these things a day or something like that. Make it a game. Make it a challenge. It's definitely a challenge in the beginning. Now, by the end, it's going to be super easy and it's going to just be part of the fabric and the culture of your relationship. But right now, give yourself permission to do that anyway. It doesn't mean that you're overlooking the issues. I just keep saying that because a lot of people do feel like that's what ends up happening. Well, if I'm really friendly or if I bring in a positive interaction or if I show up as a loving spouse today, then my spouse might feel like everything is fine and they don't have to do their work. That's not what's going to happen. Don't worry about that. Okay. So just stay in the moment and bring your A game in the moment. Also, don't worry about the how of how you're going to get to the vision quite yet. Focus right now on the what you want and why you want it and where you're going and what that exactly looks like. But don't worry about the how yet. I will help you with that. And the later lessons are going to help you with that. Just get excited about it. Just get excited about where you're going and what's next for you. Take your time with this. And if you've done it already, have a look at it again and see if you can flesh it out a little bit more since you did it based on what you've been doing. So let's say you have a couple weeks under your belt and you've had some more experiences. Maybe you've had some more shifting. Maybe you have a better idea of, like, if you're feeling more hopeful, you might have a better idea of what's possible and you can add to it. So if you've already done it, add to it. And if you haven't already done it, just go through these steps and have fun with it. Take your time. Reach out if you have any questions. If you want to share it in the group, that would be awesome. You could share it in the Facebook group. If you feel up to it, some people might not want to share it, but I think it's really cool when people can see each other's visions if you are comfortable with it, because it might give people ideas and we also can encourage each other because we get to know each other better too. And this is a really great community. So good luck with it, you guys. And that is going to be it for this lesson. We are still in lesson one. So there's a couple more pieces of content that I want to get to in lesson one. We're going to be talking about now how do we remove the internal barriers. That includes the belief statements and some pattern disruptors. There's some rules that I'm going to be teaching you guys about how to disrupt the pattern, stacking the positive interactions. And then we're also going to look at what are the saboteurs of progress. So we all have like an inner saboteur sometimes in this process. And so we're going to look at what are those most common things so that we can clear out the stuff that might get in the way of being able to really implement this vision that you're creating as fast as you possibly can.